Hello everyone in the Pharma Info. I, Mr. Satyajit Panda, representing the Pharma Warriors. Actually, I am working as an assistant professor in the Maharajas College of Pharmacy, Vijayanagaram, Andhra Pradesh. Today, I am going to deliver a brief introductory speech regarding the polymers and their application in the field of pharmacy. Polymers are generally used extensively in our daily life whenever we are going to a market for buying something or purchasing something, or vegetables or any grocery items. Generally, we are using the polythenes. That polythene is an example of the polymer, nothing but. In case of our medical and pharmaceutical fields also, they have several applications. For example, in the manufacturing of vials, or manufacturing of bottles, syringes, catheters, etc. Especially in case of pharmacy field, most of the novel drug delivery systems, or we can say control release and sustained release formulations, are based upon the polymeric materials. I think many of the new and improved dosage forms would not be available for the pharmaceutical application without the polymers. Generally, polymers are used in the field of pharmacy or the drug delivery systems were not originally intended for that particular purpose when they were first invented. So, before using the polymers for the therapeutic applications, it is important to evaluate them carefully. Polymers, this is a word which is derived from the Greek roots, and it consists of, and it is composed of two words, generally, poly and meros. Poly means nothing but many, and meros means nothing but parts. So the name itself suggests that it consists of a number of parts or more than one part. As they consist of number of parts or more than one part, they are called as macromolecules. Generally, in my, I am not collected a definition I am going to tell for the polymers, which I have not collected from any books or from any journals or from internet, but from my experience only, I am telling this definition. Polymers can be defined as the large molecules consisting of many repeating units and are formed by a process known as polymerization, which links together by small molecules called as monomers. For example, we can give polyethylene, which is a polymer that consists of the repeating ethylene monomers. There are generally three ways by which monomers can be linked together with one another to form a polymer. They may be linear polymers, branched polymers, and cross-linked polymers. When the monomers represent themselves or arranges themselves on x-axis only or either on y-axis only, separately, this is called as the linear polymers. That means monomer units are present only on horizontal axis or vertical axis, or they can be called as the branched polymers. In case of branched polymers, monomer units represents or arranges themselves in x-axis and y-axis both. In case of cross-linked polymers, monomers arrange themselves in x-axis, y-axis, and also in z-axis. Generally, the cross-linked polymers have three-dimensional structure. A polymer may have many number of monomer units, and this number is generally indicated as small letter small n. And the number n of the repeated units per molecule is known as the degree of polymerization. And this degree of polymerization is generally denoted as capital DP. Molecular weight of the polymers can be defined as the product of this degree of polymerization and the molecular weight of the repeating units or monomers. Linear and branched polymers, they are also known as thermoplastic materials because they flow when they heated and can thus be fabricated by the application of heat and pressure. And to some extent, they are soluble in certain solvents, whereas the third category, or the cross-linked polymers, they are known as the thermosetting materials because they do not flow when heated and thus cannot be fabricated by the application of heat and pressure. They can't be dissolved in all the they can't actually dissolve because all the polymeric chains present in the cross-linked polymer are interconnected by covalent cross-linkings, and they can only swell to small extent or to some extent allowed by the cross-linking density. Polymers in which all the monomer units are identical are referred to as homopolymers. Depending upon the number of monomers present in a polymeric chain, polymers can be further divided as dimers, means it consists of two monomer units. Trimers, means it consists of three monomer units. And tetramers, when it consists of four monomer units. And all these small chain molecules or small chain macromolecules or polymers can be called as the oligomers. Again, polymers, those are formed from more than one monomer type, are called as copolymers. Depending upon the attachment of the substituent or side chains, polymers are of three types again. That is a property of the polymer and is called as tacticity. And these three types can be as isotactic, syndiotactic and atactic. What is an isotactic polymer? When the one side of the main polymeric backbone, that is called as isotactic polymer. In case of syndiotactic polymer, this is nothing but a regular alteration of the substituent groups both above and below the polymer backbone. What is atactic polymer? It is nothing but the random arrangement of the substituent groups above and below the backbone. The difference between syndiotactic and atactic is, in case of atactic, this is the arrangement of the substituent group is random, but in case of syndiotactic, a regular alteration arrangement will be there. And various types of copolymers can be called as alternating copolymers, random copolymers, block copolymers, grafted copolymers. Then I will discuss one by one. First one is the alternating copolymer. In case of alternating copolymer, the monomers present in the linear chain can be arranged alternating in a alternating manner. That means if it consists of a monomer A and a monomer B, first one monomer A will be there, then B will be there, continuation A, B, A, B, A, B, like that. The linear polymer chains may be constructed from blocks of each monomers, and then they referred as the second category, block copolymers. These block copolymers may be again of two types, di-block polymers, copolymers, and tri-block copolymers. In case of di-block copolymers, there is a block composed of monomer A chains attached to a block of monomer B chains, that is AB di-block type. In case of tri-block copolymers, which are composed of either a block of A chains attached to a block of B chains, again attached to a block of A chains, that may be called as ABA tri-block, or alternatively we can call this as the BAB tri-blocks. The chains also may be composed of a backbone of repeating units of one monomer onto which is grafted chains of second monomer in a comb-like manner. These copolymers are called as graft copolymers. Next, we will discuss regarding the characteristics of an ideal polymer. An ideal polymer system should possess these type of characteristics. Suppose like it should be inert and compatible with the environment. That means suppose you are using a polymer for our therapeutic purpose, so it should be friendly with our gastrointestinal tract. Then it should be non-toxic, it should be easy and inexpensive to fabricate, and it should have good mechanical strength. Next, we'll discuss, for the selection of a polymer, we should follow the what type of characteristics. First, the polymer must be soluble and easy to synthesize, and it must have a finite molecular weight. Secondly, we can tell that it should provide the drug attachment and replace sites for the possibility of incorporation of a drug polymer linkages, especially in case of sustained and controlled release drug delivery systems. The polymer should be compatible with the biological environment. That means it should be non-toxic, non-antigenic, non-provocative, and in any other aspect also, unless it will become more complicated for us. Another main thing we should consider that it should be biodegradable in nature and should be eliminated from the organism after the fulfillment of its action or function. Next, we should discuss about the types of the polymers. So generally 4 types of polymers are there, and we can categorize the polymers like, basing upon their origin first, we can categorize the polymers as natural and synthetic polymers. Example of natural polymers we can take as the protein like collagen, keratin, albumin, etc., or carbohydrates like starch, cellulose, etc. For synthetic polymers, we can take the example like polyamides, polyesters, etc. Then next category is the basing upon their biostability. The polymers can be classified as biodegradable or non-biodegradable polymers. Biodegradable polymers are those which can be eliminated from the body or can be degraded inside the body after fulfillment of its function or after fulfillment of its action. And generally, example of biodegradable polymers are polyesters, proteins, carbohydrates, etc. Non-biodegradable polymers examples are ethyl cellulose, HPMC, acrylic polymers, etc. Third category of polymers is we can classify it basing upon the reaction mode during the polymerization process. And basing upon this reaction mode of polymerization, polymers can be classified as addition and condensation polymers. In case of addition polymers, monomers generally they combine with one another without loss of any other atom. Example of addition polymer is alkene monomers. Then condensation polymer means here monomer molecules they combine together with one another for the formation of the polymeric chain with loss of the small molecules. Generally, we can take the example water. An example of this type of condensation polymers are polyesters, polyamides, etc. And another category how we can classify the polymers, depending upon their interaction with the water also, we can classify the polymers. And depending of the when you put the polymer in case of an aqueous environment, depending upon their interaction with water, we can classify the polymers as non-biodegradable hydrophobic polymers, hydrogels, soluble polymers, biodegradable polymers, non-biodegradable hydrophobic polymers. Generally, these are impermeable to water, inert in nature, and generally they eliminated intact from the application site. Example of this type of polymers is polyethylene, vinyl acetate, polyvinyl chloride, etc. Hydrogels are generally, these are the polymers which swells when it comes in contact with the aqueous environment, but does not necessarily dissolve in presence of water. Example is generally we can call as the polyvinyl pyrrolidone. Then third category is the soluble polymers. Soluble polymers, as name suggests, they dissolve in the water easily. And the example of this type of polymers are hydrophilic, HPMC, that is hydroxypropyl methyl cellulose, polyethylene glycols, also called as PEG, etc. Biodegradable polymers examples, generally we can call as polyacrylic acids, polyglycolic acids, etc. Next, after types, we'll discuss about the properties of the polymers. Under the properties of the polymers, first we'll discuss the molecular weight and molecular weight distribution. Generally, the molecules or monomers present inside a polymer have different molecular weights because polymerization, as we know, that it is a random process. So, we can define the molecular weight of the polymers as a single subject. Okay, so we can define the molecular weight of the polymers are, instead of a single object, we can define it as an average one. That means we can express the polymer molecular weight as the number average molecular weight, the weight average molecular weight, the viscosity average molecular weight. Then why we are discussing about the molecular weight of the polymers when we are discussing regarding the properties of the polymers? The answer is because the molecular weight of the polymers has a definite relationship between the properties of the polymers. For example, we can tell that at very low molecular weights, the polymer has essentially no useful mechanical properties. But as the molecular weight rises, the magnitude of the mechanical property of interest is also rises. Next one, we'll discuss about the polymer hydrophobicity. That means basing upon the interaction with the water. Already during the classification, I told you regarding the classification, basing upon the interaction with the water, and depending upon these, they are may be called as hydrophobic polymers, hydrophilic polymers, then water soluble polymers, hydrogels, etc. Next one is the glass transition temperature, another property, main property of the polymers. At low enough temperatures, all the amorphous polymers, they exist in a glassy state. That means they are characterized by hardness, stiffness and brittleness. But as the temperature is raised, the polymers undergoes transition, known as glass transition temperature, where they change from a glassy state to a rubbery elastomer or a flexible plastic. The temperature at which this transition takes place is known as the glass transition temperature. Next property of the polymers are the crystallinity. Polymers that have a regular structure are able to achieve a regular packing of polymer chains, and they are called as the crystalline polymers. The driving force for this crystallization process is the closer packing of the polymer chains with consequent enhancement in the intermolecular attractions. The presence of crystallinity has a significant effect on the polymer properties because crystalline regions act as cross links, and for this region, stiffer and tougher the polymer, and also reduces the swelling in co-solvents or solvents. Crystalline regions are also essentially impermeable to water. So the rate of polymer hydrolysis in case of crystalline regions is also significantly very less. Next, we will discuss about the application of the polymers in the field of pharmacy. First one, let us take the example of carbapol, which is a polymer. This is generally available as a white powder, available in most of our pharmacy colleges inside the lab, and highly ionic in nature, slightly acidic in nature. And the uses of carbapol is, this is used as a thickening agent, suspending agent, dispersing agent, emulsifying agent, etc. Next one is the example we can take, carboaxes. Carboaxes is generally, it is a natural wax. And their uses are, they are generally water soluble lubricants and generally used in the hair cosmetic, hair preparations or cosmetic preparations or in the ointments, etc. And except this carboxes, lots of natural gums are there, natural resins are there, which are used as the polymers. For example, we can take the example of chitogens, albumins, then we can take the example of olibanum, which is used as a microencapsulating agent. Then next we can take another example is the sodium CMC. It has a, actually this is a sodium CMC is generally used as a sodium salt, gastric antacid. Next, it can be used as a protective colloid. This also has the laxative action, etc. Another example of polymers, we can tell ion exchange resin, or brand or trade name is Indian 264, because it is prepared by the company Ion Exchange Limited. So it is also named as ion exchange resin. And generally, it is used as a taste masking agent in bitter formulations, and when used in drug carriers, generally it produces the binding of the ingredients. These are the some of the examples of the polymers which is used in the pharmaceutical field. Lots of applications we can get from the internet. So lots of work being done on the novel drugs, especially nowadays in the field of novel drug delivery system, in the formulation of controlled release and sustained release. Polymers are the main backbone for the pharmaceutical field nowadays, we can tell like that. Thanks for listening my lecture note.